Well, I'll change it up this morning. Happy Valentine's Day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for your unending love, for that amazing grace that you've extended to us. Who are we that you would call us the children of God, that we are your people? That you speak to us, that you love us, that we only know what love is because you exist, because you made us. We love because you first loved us. So Lord, thank you for your example. Thank you for providing everything that we need. In your name, amen. Well, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, back in my day, we had show and tell at school. I don't know if they do that anymore. I hope they do, but back in my day, we did show and tell. Especially after Christmas time, all of your toys you want to show and tell people what you got. And why is that? There's something innate, something built within us that if something's important to us, if something makes an impact, we want to tell somebody about it. Even when you go shopping online, if you've ever noticed that if you've placed an order on Amazon, right after you've placed the order, it says, "Congratulations, thanks for your order. Oh, by the way, do you want to share this on Facebook? Hey, I just bought this great food blender or something like that. I just got this Vegematic. And I want to tell the world about it." There's something within us, something built in, it's a human reaction, that if something has an impact on us, that we want to share, we want to tell. Is that true with our relationship with Jesus? That he is the most impactful person on earth, on our hearts, on our lives? Are we sharing? If we believe in him, we need to share. He's the most important person. He brought us back into relationship with our Creator God. He gave us eternal life. He turned the tides that we no longer have to face eternal death, but we have life and we have relationship in him. So we're going to be looking at John. We're going to finish up John chapter 1. And we're going to look at three different people who saw Jesus, they believed, and they immediately shared. That our belief must be connected to sharing. So if you want to, go ahead and turn to John chapter 1. Before we jump into that, one of the songs jumped out to me. It says, "Nothing compares to the promise I have in you." If nothing compares to that promise, we've got to share that. If we believe that, we've got to share that promise extends, that God wants all to believe. So we've been working through John, and we're going to finish up chapter 1 here. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we've started John, and we've seen the connection that it starts with in the beginning. That there's a clear connection there to in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And in beginning was the Word, and that Word was Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning. That we see that connection right there, that the Word became flesh, that he made his tabernacle among us. And even now, after the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, so now the Word made his dwelling within us, within our hearts. Then we meet John the Baptist, that he is supposed to prepare the way for the Lord. And he said that God told him, God prophesied that he would see a man, and this man, he would see the Spirit come down and remain on him. And that sign would be how he would know that that is the Son of God. And we're actually going to jump in there. We're going to backtrack to finish through John 1. We're going to look first at John 1, 32. So, John just saw Jesus. He says, before that, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He said, I didn't know him, but he knew that he would be revealed. John gave this testimony, it says in verse 32, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you will see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said again, Look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, What do you want? Then he said, They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, Follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said, Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael said. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were there still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that. He added, I will tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So in this passage, we're going to look at three people. First is John the Baptist. The second, we're going to look at Andrew, and then we're going to look at Philip. So first, John. John heard the prophecy that the Spirit would come and remain on a man, and that man would be the Son of God. John saw that in action. He saw the Spirit come and remain. How do we know that? How do we know that he believed then and there? Immediately, he started telling people. We wouldn't know in this passage that he would believe just as him being a human being. How do we know that he believes in that moment? He immediately shares. He says, Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He believed and he shared immediately. John didn't even talk to Jesus. Isn't that crazy? He saw him, and that was enough. That in Old Testament times, the Spirit would come, and it would come periodically. It would come on a prophet, and the prophet would have the Spirit and relay a message, and then the Spirit would go and fall on somebody else to give another message. That it was only a periodic time that the Spirit would fall, but this was constant. That the Spirit remained. That was key for John, that there was something different here, and it fulfilled what God had told him, that the Spirit would remain. Think of that. If you've heard of the phrase Spirit-filled life, there was no such thing in the Old Testament. It was only when on Pentecost the Spirit came that we could be filled, that the Spirit would remain on us. So this is crazy. This is ridiculous. John sees it, doesn't talk to the person. He believes and he shares. That's all that he needed. Think about that. The same Spirit that descended on Jesus lives in you, lives in me. What would it look like if somebody saw in you the Spirit is remaining? There's something different about that. Has anybody asked you that? There's something different about you. What is it? Well, that's Jesus living in me. Is your life marked by the Holy Spirit remaining on you? That the Spirit has made his dwelling amongst us and in us, and that he lives within us forever. So John believed, and so he shared. People who believe, they share. So in this passage, we see John shared that day. He shares the next day, and you better believe it, he's going to keep on sharing. So we see the next day, he goes out and he tells the disciples, hey, if you didn't hear me yesterday, this is the Lamb of God. You might want to pay attention to him. So Andrew and this other disciple, they started following him. Literally. Okay, let's follow him. Let's see what he does. And so Jesus, naturally, if somebody's following you, you turn around, say, dude, what do you want? You know, why are you following me? But I think it's more than that. It's more just, hey, what are you doing following me? You know, you're creeping me out. He asks, what do you want? How powerful of a question is that if you really think about what that means? What is your heart's desire? Jesus asked that same question to a man that was blind. He says, what do you want? And the guy said, I want to see. So he's questioning Andrew and this disciple. He says, what do you want? What is that heart's desire? And Andrew keeps it simple. He says, I just want to know where you're staying. But even in that, he wants to know where he's staying so then he can visit him again. He wants to know where he can find this Jesus, this Lamb of God, this Son of God. And Jesus says something that's powerful that he offers to you and I as well. He says, come and you will see. That we receive that invitation just as Andrew did. He asks us, come and see. You know, Jesus offers that invitation to everyone. That Jesus wants all people to know and respond and know that saving knowledge of Jesus, the saving message. But how will they know that he says, come and see, unless somebody tells them, unless somebody shares? Because people who believe, they share. So Andrew spent the day with him. He spent the whole day and he believed. And what does it say? It says, the first thing he did after that is he went to go find Simon. He wanted to find his brother. He wanted to tell him that he found his brother who would become the cornerstone of the 12 disciples, the cornerstone of the early church. He came because he had found his treasure and he wanted Simon, his brother, in on it. He believed, and so he shared. Let's look at our third person here in this passage. We have Philip. So Jesus was heading out to Galilee. He was just getting ready to go on his way. And he found Philip. He said, follow me. That's all that we see in this passage of Jesus' conversation with Philip. And that was enough. That was enough for Philip, that he saw Jesus. Jesus gave that invitation. He saw and believed. No miracles were needed. No signs were needed. He met Jesus, the Savior of the world. And what did he do? He followed him, and then he quickly went to his friend Nathanael. He believed, so he shared. Nathanael, he is a tougher nut to crack. He said, Nazareth, does anything good come from there? But I think it's interesting the question that, or the response that Philip gives. He says that same familiar, powerful thing. Come and see. Experience Jesus. See who this man is, and you'll know for sure. There will be no doubt in your mind. So Nathanael needed more convincing, but once he saw Jesus, he believed. People who believe, they share. Why? Because the gospel demands a response. It demands a response in two ways, really. If you hear that Jesus died for your sins, that he wants to restore relationship of you with God the Father, it's going to demand you to say, yes, I accept that, or no, I don't believe that. I don't accept that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He died for me. He died for you. We have to make that response when we hear the gospel. But when we know that Jesus is the Savior, when we have accepted that, we've made that response. But think about that gospel message. God so loved the world, the whole world, that he wants all people to know him, that he sent his Son, that each person who believes in him would have life. But what does that mean if somebody doesn't believe? Then they will not have life. That they will suffer not just a physical death and that be the end, but they are sent to hell. A suffering, eternal, fiery existence. We would wish that not on even our worst enemies. That is a tough pill to swallow, but it's reality. If we believe the full gospel, then that means those who believe live eternal life with Jesus. But it also means the opposite. If they don't believe, it's eternal death. That the gospel demands a response. That he wants all people to saved. He doesn't want to see hell filled to the brim. That he wants heaven to be filled with rejoicing people in relationship with him. Does our heart cry mirror Jesus's cry that he wants all people to be saved? And he uses each of us because when we believe, we need to share. It all comes back to the greatest commandments. It's Valentine's Day, so we're going to talk a little bit about love. God calls us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we love God, we'll do what he asks. If you love your dad, and he asks you to do something, you do it because you love him. God commands us. He says, I want to make my appeal through you. I want you to be my ambassadors. You are my witnesses. Go tell. Go and share. But also, we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. And I was thinking of that boy, when I know the reality, the full reality of the gospel, that there's life or there's death, man, I want life. Don't you? And if we want to love our neighbor as ourselves, we want them to believe and to have that gospel as well. That we want them to have eternal life. Now, when you think of share, what does that look like? Sometimes people might think, well, I'm on a stage, but I even need to get a little box here so I can stand up, get my bullhorn. I'm going to proclaim the gospel that here's the deal. Sit down, it's going to be a little while. Here are the steps. God created everyone. That sin came into the earth, that we are a sinful people, that we're separated from God, but that we were reunited, that if we believe in Jesus, Jesus paid the price and we have eternal life through him. That's proclaiming. But there's also the conversations that go. That sharing can be a gospel conversation too. It can be, hey, you know, I see that you're having a rough time and that it doesn't seem like you have very much peace. Let me tell you about the peace that Jesus gives me. That you can relay of, what does God mean to you? If you see an opening, you share. Just something simple that, hey, you know, did you see the news? Man, it is getting sadder and sadder, lower and lower. Is there any hope for the world? Something like that. That if you have even an answered prayer, tell somebody. Tell somebody, you know, this is amazing that I was hurt and God healed me because he loves me. Isn't that great that there is a God out there who loves? If you see somebody in troubled times, tell them about that peace that you have only through Jesus. Or even, did you ever think of how powerful forgiveness is? That you can even share that man, I really screwed up, but I know that God forgives. And this other person that I know who believes in Jesus, they forgave me. That weight is gone. I don't have to live with that anymore. Have you experienced something like that? That sharing doesn't have to be something scary. It is God in you sharing about the most important person that you know, about Jesus. How he interacts and responds with you. How that conversation goes, that you are in relationship with him. Tell somebody a little bit about what that looks like. People who believe, they share. One, because God says, go and tell others about me. Go and proclaim the good news, and I will be with you to the ends of the age. Two, because we're called to love our neighbors, because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. But three, because the gospel demands a response, that there is that truth, that there is such a thing as eternal death. We want people to believe and know and be saved. So I want to leave you with a few things here. Jesus asked the two disciples that followed him, what do you want? What is your heart's cry? Does your heart's cry mirror what God's heart is? Do you see the lost around you and pray? And are you on your knees for them? Are you looking for openings for those people around you who don't know Jesus that you can share just even a little bit? Just even a little bit. Or inviting people in. The truth is, we're very much like Philip and Andrew, that we believe. So when you look around your circle, who are those Nathaniels? Who are those Peters? Who is God putting on your heart that doesn't know him, that we need to lift up in prayer, that we need to pursue, that we need to invite in and build stronger relationship to bring them to Jesus? Those who believe, they share. Let's be a faithful witness to Jesus. So I want to give us a few minutes here. One, I want you to ponder these things of who are those Peters and Nathaniels? Who are those unbelievers that we have within our circles? Whether they're a family member, a coworker, the person at Kroger, whether it's a person that you just met along the way, just a random friend. Who are those people that God has put on your heart? And if he hasn't, ask God, God, what do you want me to know? Who have you put in my path that you want me to share about Jesus, about who you are in me? So God, what do you want me to know? Who are those people in your circles? And God, is there anything else? Let's keep it open-ended for him. Let's take a few minutes. I'm going to pray, and then we'll have a few minutes of reflection, and then we'll finish up with the song. So let's pray.